I'm going to take my text from this 17th verse of the last chapter of the Bible. And the Spirit and the Bride say, come. This is the close of the Bible. This is the end of the Revelation. This is where we come to the jumping off place. There's nothing else after this. And then the Spirit says, and the Bride says, it's time for you to come, Lord. It's time for you to come. And three different times in this last chapter, Jesus said, behold, I come quickly. That's verse 7. And then in verse 12, and behold, I come quickly. And then you have in verse 20, the next to the last verse, surely, I come quickly. When we get to the end of the Bible, the Lord says, I'm coming, I'm coming, I'm coming. You get to the end of everything that's been reported to us over all these 16 centuries. The climax is, I'm coming, I'm coming, I'm coming. The Spirit and the Bride say, come, Lord, come, we're waiting, we're ready, hurry. Now that's what you've got at the conclusion of this great Bible of ours. The Bible ends with Jesus coming. The Bible concludes with the Holy Spirit saying, the Bride must say he should come, and the Spirit must say that he should come. And I'm glad that in this Collingswood Church, this emphasis upon the coming of Christ has been here from the very beginning. I've told you people over the years that when I was in seminary here, and we'd come down from Princeton and gone over here on Pine Street, 1328 Pine, that the boys in the seminary would say, well, where are you going to go to church today? And say, well, let's go over and hear Barnhouse. He's here nearby. Then they'd say, well, let's go over to that place in Collingswood. They got a good fellow over there. His name is Laird. It's a good church. And then some of them said, well, we think we ought to go to the Methodist Church in Haddonfield. They've got a good fundamentalist over there. And then some say, no, I'm just going over here to Bethany Presbyterian Church. They've got a red-hot preacher over there named Roy Bumball. He walks all over the place. And we'd have discussions as to where we were going to go on Sunday. And I'll never forget the Sunday I came to college. Just a student, and we came over here. The thing that impressed me was that all the people that came into the place were carrying their Bibles. And then the other thing that encouraged me was that I learned that it was a strong church looking for the Lord to come. Now those were the two things that hit me when I first came and went down over there, that old church, the building's still there, it hadn't fallen down yet, it's still there, was that this church was filled with people who carried their Bibles, and it was a church that was strong in the belief that Jesus would come. And do you know that every minister that Dr. Machen asked to be a member of this independent board for Presbyterian Farm, every single one of them were pastors of churches in this country that were strong in preaching the second coming of Christ. It was the fundamentalist who had the coming of Christ at the end of this age that were willing to stand up on that independent board and stand against the great apostasy and raise up a board. So here is this emphasis on the second coming. Now when you turn to this text of ours, it says the Spirit and the Bride say come. We'll discuss first the whole question concerning the Spirit, and then we'll discuss in the second portion the matter concerning the Bride. They both, in their final emphasis, they're both in their glorious conclusion is, come, Lord Jesus. Come and get it. Come and take us. We're all waiting. We're all ready. Come, Lord. We're anxious to see you. And that's the way this glorious Bible concludes, and it should be. And as I told you this morning, we're a very special people. We're a very peculiar people. We're a very strange people. We've got some very wild ideas that the trumpet's going to blow and all these graves are going to pop open and the people in them that belong to the Lord will be in the skies. My, it's a fantastic figure to talk like that in the Church of Jesus Christ. But that's not any worse than old Noah had when he preached. He said, if you people don't repent, the flood's going to come and take you all away. And it happened. But the Lord's going to come and take us all away. But we'll be taken to glory and not to judgment. Now as I look at this text of mine, first I want to point out to you in relationship to the book of Revelation, the last book in the Bible. And then I want to point out to you in relationship to the bride and the Holy Spirit in the church. I don't know whether you are aware of the fact, the emphasis that we have here, but John says in chapter 1, I was in the Spirit on the Lord's day. And the whole book of Revelation came from the Spirit, not just the last chapter. I was in the Spirit on the Lord's day. And he saw the vision of Christ, of course, in chapter 1. But the emphasis here that everything that John has in this book of Revelation, he got from the Spirit of God. And that's a beautiful, beautiful recognition of the place of the Spirit in this dispensation. You turn over to chapter 2 and chapter 3, and you have seven churches. The seven churches of Asia. And you realize that at the conclusion of each of those seven churches, we are exhorted to hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. Ephesus, Pergamos, Smyrna, Thyatira, Sardis, Laodicea. At the end of every single one of those messages, listen to what the Spirit says to the churches. And that's this emphasis upon the Spirit of God dealing with the churches of God. Then you'll be interested to know that when we get to the 17th chapter of the book of Revelation, I think I'd like to turn you to that third verse because this is exceedingly significant in this book of Revelation. You're all aware of the 17th chapter and what a terrible thing it does when it presents the story of the great apostasy. Verse 3, so he carried me away in the Spirit into the wilderness. And I saw a woman sat upon a scarlet-colored beast, full of the names of blasphemy, having seven heads and 10 horns. And we're all aware of the fact that the 17th and 18th chapter is a description of Babylon, the harlot church. It's a description of that woman with her scarlet iniquities riding on the back of the beast. And John says, the Spirit carried me away and showed me the apostate church, the bride of the Antichrist. You mean to say the Spirit of God has given us the 17th and the 18th chapters in order that we might have an accurate understanding of what's going to happen in the last days when the apostates get together and put together this great Babylon of theirs? The Spirit of God is giving it to us. When I think of the things that are in this book of Revelation given to us by the Spirit of God, then we have this wonderful account where these two witnesses are going to come and they're going to be in the city of Jerusalem. They're going to have power to stop the heavens and bring rain down. They're going to have all kinds of power. There are two of them. And they're going to be slain. And they're going, this is the 11th chapter, and they're going, their dead bodies are going to rest in the streets of Jerusalem for 3 days, and all the world will see them. And then we're told that the Spirit of God will come into them and raise them up, and they shall be caught up into the heavens to be with the Lord. The Spirit of God is going to raise these dead witnesses there in the city of Jerusalem that the whole world will be looking at because of the power that they will have had over nature, and to call down lightning and create earthquakes and other things during that period. But the Spirit of God, the Spirit of God. Then, of course, we come to this great 19th chapter of the Revelation, and we have the vision here in the 19th chapter, the coming of the Lord, and here again we have this beautiful reference to the Spirit. And when we get to the 21st chapter, we have the vision of the holy city and all its glory, its descriptions. And in verse 10, he carried me away in the Spirit to a great and high mountain and showed me that great city, the holy Jerusalem, descending out of heaven from God. And the Holy Spirit says the 12 foundations and the 12 gates and the emeralds and the jasper and the gold. All of that is the Spirit of God revealing to us what that holy city is going to be like when it comes from God out of heaven down to this earth. My, the emphasis upon the Spirit in this book of Revelation. It's a beautiful, glorious thing, and it comes to the very end of the Spirit. The last thing the Spirit has to say, come! Come! Come, Lord Jesus! We've finished our work. We've finished the book. We've finished the dealings with the apostates. We're ready now. Now that's the book of Revelation. It's the book of the Spirit. It's the final message of the Spirit. And the very last word that the Spirit of God has to say is come. Come. Now in the second place, I told you, I wanted to show you the relationship of the Spirit to the larger area, the larger dispensation of the Spirit, as we call it. And you're aware of the fact, and we're all aware of the fact, that Jesus said, I must go away. And if I don't go away, the Spirit won't come. And it's to your advantage that the Spirit comes when I go. And then you have the passages that I've spoken on at different times, John 14, 15, and 16. When He, the Spirit, is come, He'll take of me, He'll take of mine, and He'll show it unto you. And I'm sending Him, and He will, when He comes, He'll lead you into all truth, and He'll show you things I haven't yet shown you, and which you're not ready to receive now, but you will be ready to receive them. And when He has come, He'll show you things to come. He'll give you the prophecies of the New Testament that you have in Thessalonians chapter 2 and chapter 2 Thessalonians chapter 2 and these passages that the man of sin is going to come and he won't come until we'll be taken out of the way. And the whole New Testament and holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. By this tremendous emphasis. And then you come to the book of Acts and they quote Hosea, the Spirit of God would speak in these days, and you have the book of Acts and the Spirit of God coming with tongues of fire. I didn't get into the tongues of fire this morning that came on the disciples at Pentecost and the New Testament church took shape, but it was the Holy Spirit, and 3,000 people were saved that first day, and a day or two later, 5,000 people were saved by the Holy Ghost, giving them the faith to believe. And then you come into the whole of the book of Acts, and it's called the Acts of the Apostles or the Acts of the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit was sent by Jesus Christ after He went to heaven to have this special ministry of giving the new birth and all the benefits of it to the people of God who were in the Spirit. My, how we're exhorted not to grieve the Spirit. How we're exhorted to walk in the Spirit. How we're exhorted to pray in the Spirit. How we're exhorted to recognize that this third person of the Trinity has given us the book, the whole thing. And the Holy Spirit speaks out of the Scriptures to us. And this is the reason I've said so many times to you that we don't get mixed up with the Charismatics and the Pentecostalists, and the ICC doesn't have them, we don't take them, but they're getting revelations of the Spirit through their tongues and through their miracles that they're working. And we think it's of the devil. There's not a thing ever to be added to this book by anybody, any place, any time, by any spirit that they want to talk about. So the whole Old Testament and the whole New Testament were given to us by the Holy Spirit. My. Except a man be born again, that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. And this marvelous work of taking dead men and making them alive, this marvelous work of a soul that's destined for hell and condemned, and giving it a new creation and a new life. And if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. And everybody that sits in the pews of this church has to be new creatures. We're new creatures in Jesus Christ. And that work has been wrought for us by the Holy Spirit. We come to the very first chapter of Genesis. The Spirit of God moved on the waters. The Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit were all active in the work of creation. All of them. And so you and I are now in the age and the dispensation of the church, or the Spirit of God who produces and brings the church into being. I come now to this very last chapter here, and Jesus says, "Behold, I'm coming. Behold, I'm coming. Surely I'm coming." And John writes down, and the Spirit says, and the bride says, "Come. Come." Now let's talk about the bride. We've seen the work of the Spirit in all these areas and how you and I depend on Him, and we ask the Holy Spirit to guide us. The Holy Spirit uses the preacher and He uses your testimony. But now, the Spirit and the bride. Well, who's this bride? Well, John the Baptist talked about the bride and the bridegroom, and he'd come to predict, present, and introduce the bridegroom. And Paul's made it very plain to you and me that the bride is the body, the bride is the church, the bride is the great company that Jesus came to get and to redeem and bring to Himself and take them to the marriage supper of the Lamb. The bride is the church. The bride is the company of the believers. The bride is to please the bridegroom. The bride has been given her ring by the bridegroom. The bridegroom has bought her with his blood. And the church of Jesus Christ, the true church, the believing church, is the bride. And the bride says, "Come." Now, I told you people in the last 3 weeks several things that your pastor has seen spiritually. I think they're just my deeper understanding. And you can't deal with things that I'm dealing with day in and day out and relate them to the Bible without seeing these things. And I told you the other night in one of my messages that I thought that one of the signs of the coming of the Lord was that the gospel has been preached pretty well around the world and you've got churches everywhere. And when we get out to Vancouver, we're going to have French and German and Korean, and we'll have translations and all those things because of many tongues that'll be there. And I told you in one of my sermons not too long ago that in the fourth chapter of the book of Revelation, you see the sights in heaven out of every nation and kindred and people and tongue, and they're singing, "Worthy is the Lamb." Well, we've got them. We've got them. Here they are. They're here on the earth right now, and we're going to have people there. We've got churches in over 100 days. They're all singing, "Worthy is the Lamb. Worthy is the Lamb." You know, I think that's pretty good proof that He's going to come pretty soon. When the Spirit of God says, and the bride says, "Come." And here we are, we're all coming. Here we are, we're all talking about coming of the Lord. Here we are, we're all thinking about this great moment. We don't belong to God. We don't love this old earth. We love the world and its creation, but we don't love this world and its sin. We're a completely changed company. We have different dreams, different hopes, different ways. We put our money in different places. And we're Christians. And we know it, and we're going to testify to the fact that the hope that you and I have as we come down to the end of this age, that Jesus is going to come. Jesus is going to come. And when the bride is saying, "Come," He's going to listen to His bride. I don't know of a bridegroom anywhere that doesn't like to hear his wife talk to him. I don't know of a bridegroom anywhere that doesn't rejoice in the fact that God's given him a bride. And when the bride begins to ask her bridegroom to come, when the bride is full of this great dream and hope that He'll arrive, yes, beloved, He's coming. And when I open a passage like this to you tonight and the Bible concludes, the Spirit says come and the bride says come, beloved, He's getting here. He's coming. I can't get away from the fact that the whole Bible is a build-up. Stage after stage, stage after stage, experience after experience. It's one great, glorious build-up till we get to the book of Revelation. And here we have the account of John being in the Spirit on the Lord's Day, and he saw all these things that were going to come to pass. And when he gets to the very end of it, the one great thing that the church is interested in, that God's people are interested in, the one great prayer is, "Lord, come. Lord, come." And the fundamental churches of this country, I told you this morning, and I'm going to keep on telling you, as long as we've got a Bible, you're going to have fundamentalists. Because some people don't believe it. And as long as you got the Holy Spirit, you're going to have fundamentals. Because the Holy Spirit's going to put the faith in your heart to believe that this book is from God. I said, and I think our Westminster Confession, of course we have it now, the old Presbyterian Church still without, but that first chapter of the Westminster Confession to you and me, it says that God is the author of this book, and therefore it is to be called the Word of God. Well, if He's the author of it, it is His Word. And our confession on which this pulpit stands and which I preach says that God is the one who designed, He planned, He used the Holy Spirit to give it, and God is the author of this book. We call it inerrancy. We call it infallibility. And all our lives we believe it. And when I come to a passage like I did, you know, somebody had the nerve to tell me at the close of my sermon this morning that I was preaching better sermons since my wife was sick. I said, for goodness sakes, maybe I am, but I know one thing, I'm preaching the same message, and I'm preaching the same story, and I'm preaching the same thing, and I have now the consummation and the climax of everything that's before us. The bride says, come. I'm weary, I'm sick, I'm disgusted. We've got enough to fight. It's time to lay down our armor and put on the glories of God and go into the presence. You look at this earth and look at the universe, it's a big thing, and where's it all going? What's going to be the conclusion of all this thing that you and I have to deal with? It's all in the Bible. It's all in the Bible. And my knowledge of the Bible and my knowledge of the end time determines my judgments on decisions I make every day. And it should be in your case too. Jesus is coming. Now let me get just a little bit further about this bride. You know, a real bride loves the bridegroom. A real bride loves the bridegroom. It's a beautiful thing to see a lovely bride come here. She's dressed in white because she's a virgin, got a clean life behind her. And then here's the bridegroom they take, and she gives herself to her husband. And just think what comes out of that, the marriage and the children and the home and the celebrations and the birthdays and the years that pass by and the families tied together. It's a beautiful thing. And a bride loves the bridegroom. If there's something wrong with her, she should never marry him. Oh, beloved, the love of the bride for the bridegroom, and the love of the bridegroom for the bride. And Paul tells in Ephesians that a husband loves his wife as his own flesh. And the unity that there is in this relationship, which we see. And I tell you, when families go to pieces and divorces are popping out here, these beautiful relationships are destroyed. And we don't appreciate them. But if the churches had preachers that would preach about the bride loving the bridegroom, that these marriages are indissoluble and that they're really made in heaven, and you got the right concept of this spiritual relationship between us here, my, what a relationship we have between Christ and His church. Christ and His church. The churches of Christ, faithful. The bride is faithful. Militant, it has a mission, it has a calling, it has a gospel. And triumphant, it's got a victory. Come, Lord Jesus, give us what you promised us. Come, Lord Jesus, let us fill the heavens with the hallelujahs. Come, Lord Jesus, and let our souls be perfected and cleanse out of us all that's left of the old man and put us in the eternal state that you promised to give us. Even so, come, Lord Jesus. That's the story. No, a bride is faithful to the bridegroom, and she loves the bridegroom until the very end. You and I are not able to conceive of the glory that shall be revealed in us. What God's going to do for each one of us who have sought to be faithful and loving and obedient as a part of the bride. Now in that same text here in Revelation 22, it says the Spirit and the bride says, and let him that heareth say, come. What the Spirit's saying and what the bride's saying, everybody needs to hear. Let him that heareth say, come. And that means, and this is the climax, that those that are not a part of the bride better get in on the marriage before it's too late. That those who are hearing of the bride and the bridegroom in this message, and if they hear it, you better get saved and join the great company that says, come, Lord Jesus. And here we have a part of this last passage here, that him that heareth say, come. Let the gospel be preached, and those who hear about the second coming, say, here, I'm going to say, come too. And do you remember in 1 Thessalonians when the Apostle Paul was writing to the church there, he says, remember ye not that when I was with you, I told you these things? He's talking about the rapture, 4th chapter. Talking about 2 Thessalonians chapter. Don't you remember when I really explained to you the gospel, I told you what the plan was, and I told you that Christ would come and the dead would be raised. Don't you remember I told you these things when I was with you, and don't you doubt the resurrection? Don't you remember I told you there'd be a man of sin, but the church would be taken out, the Holy Spirit would withdraw before you? I told you these things, and the very preaching of the gospel involves preaching the second coming. The very preaching of the gospel on the streets, the preaching of the gospel involves telling people, he that heareth these things, let him say, come. He that heareth these things, let him be, I want to get in on it. I want to be a part of it. It's going to happen. It's going to take place. And let him that is athirst come. Let him that says, oh, I'm troubled. I'm so confused. I don't have any hope. I have no answer. Tell him to come and accept the truth and get the answers and be secure. And that's where you and I are tonight. We have come. We've got the answer. And now we're saying, oh Lord, come. Come and get me. Come and take me. Come and make me what you promised to do with me when you died for us. Come, Lord Jesus.